It's where we have things in common. It's not about who has the most or who. It's about Jesus had his family, and he wasn't married, but and so he never had children that way. But as far as his brothers and his sisters and his mother, he was very close to his mother, but there were times when they thought he was crazy, and he still had his friends. And then his brothers and sisters later on were part, you know, got into the ministry in the Bible, but a lot of them didn't have much to do with them then. They got but he had his three very, very closest friends. They weren't perfect. They weren't always there for him when he needed them, but the Father always was. Then, now look, Jesus was betrayed by Judas, who was one of his close friends. He was within that 12. He wasn't within the three, but he was within the 12. And there's a whole teaching on betrayal. I think it's still back there. That's very powerful when you get stabbed in the back by somebody who's a close friend and how to let God really heal that because you feel betrayed. When it's a close friend, you feel betrayed. And we're not going to get into all that tonight, but betrayal really hurts. And sometimes you really were betrayed and sometimes you just think you were betrayed. But you still have to give that to God. What does God do? He just heals it. God comes along and he says, you know what? I love you. I'm taking care of you. Just let's bless them. One day you'll understand this. Just forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I want you to walk above this. I want you to walk in my love and then pray for them. And I'll be able to set them free. I'll be able to heal them. Not punish them and everything else. And then I think some people in this room, I think you don't have the three friends, but you have more the 12 or the 70. Well, I got a lot of, 70, that's like acquaintances. That's like, you know, you have a party and you invite 70 people and everybody be, it's like when we have a cookout here and there's about 70 of us. You know, how are you? I know pretty much about you because especially in this, you got to admit this church, you know more about people than most churches. Because we've gotten free from shame and we really pray and we lift, which is very cool. Because a lot of times if you sat in a church, unless you were in the little inner circle, you wouldn't. You could sit there and not know anyone. And here, it takes a little bit because you need to come, especially Tuesdays, to the small group or start making some friends or talk to people because, you know, but that's why that's one reason we have the small groups. That's one reason, you know, we have things where you can get involved. But part of that is to make friends. Part of that is to get to know other believers, to fellowship. We have, you know, cookouts. We have all kinds of things. And not on a superficial level, but sincere relationship. But if you're guarded about that, if you're afraid I'm going to be mocked or I'm going to be made fun of or I'm not going to fit into what? Lord, tell me, I used to think I didn't fit in. And I told you the story. It's on a CD out there somewhere. But it really freaked me out when this thing came up that I didn't fit in. And I mean, I was like, I wanted to run out the door. But I've learned this is a spirit. This isn't the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, why do you buy the lie you don't fit in? And Lord, show me, you went back, you had dark hair, your sisters and brothers had blonde hair, they had blue eyes, you had green eyes, and they would tease you and say you didn't fit in. And as a little kid, even though we played together, got along great most of the time, it really had affected me. You know, I really want you to pray about, and it doesn't mean let me say this, your three or four good friends do not have to be here at this church, but they should be believers. They should be believers. Friends should be. The Bible says don't have fellowship with people who are not believers. Let me ask you this. How many have friends and fellowship and hang out with people who are not believers? Some of you do and you're not telling the truth, but that's okay. The Bible says not to. Now, I'm not saying you can't be a light in darkness. But I'm talking about where you really are influenced by somebody else's life. I don't think you do, Irene. I think you just go and hang out and there's light. I don't think you're like doing what they're doing. And so, but the part where you really see they understand me more. There are people right now who were living for God at one time and God was doing mighty things in their life, but they got drawn back to their old friends because of wounds and hurts and they felt better there. You can feel a little superior hanging out with people who are drinking and fornicating and all that kind of stuff if you think you're stronger and you're not. I mean, you really need to ask the Lord, You know, we need to be biblical. But I encourage you to pray about, is there something that's wounded you there? Because this isn't just in one place. It says, well, let me just give you a few more scriptures on fellowship. Oh, let me give you the one I just said, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? What fellowship does light have with darkness? There's something wrong in your heart if you enjoy being around darkness. If you enjoy that kind of movie, if you enjoy that kind of party and lifestyle, if you enjoy cussing and the smoking and all the stuff that goes along with fellowship and darkness, all the dirty talk, the innuendos, if something in you isn't bothered by that, you need to go spend some time with God and say, what is going on here? Because you are a target for the enemy to pull back into the world. You are really a target. Remember I said at the very beginning of this, when you find Christ, you are a bond servant. And I'm telling you, it's because our society has changed so much, we don't understand what discipline is. We don't understand that we do it God's way because he says it, because he's training us up. And as we mature and grow in relationship with him, we will agree with him and we will believe it. Does that make sense? Now, this one, verse 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into. Now listen, God is faithful. He has called you into the fellowship. That word fellowship is relationship, intimacy, hanging out with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God didn't just call you into knowing, being trained up by his word and understanding his ways. He called you into relationship with Jesus Christ, into fellowship, into intimacy, into hanging out with Jesus. He called you into that. Isn't that exciting? Some of you don't look excited. It's exciting. But if you've been disappointed and bitterness has gotten in, that will stop that relationship. It will stop that flow of relationship. Bitterness getting in our hearts towards God, bitterness getting in your heart towards any relationship will block that relationship. So bitterness getting in your heart towards God will block that relationship. I didn't realize. Let me tell you this. God is faithful even when we're not. And what happens when the Lord is trying to deal with bitterness, he won't hit you with lightning or disease or anything, thank God. But you will start finding yourself being too busy to just spend time with God. You will begin to find yourself not as drawn to the word just to talk to Jesus. You will find yourself not listening to worship music intensely just to worship him. Now, let me say this. Some of you have never done those things. Some of you, your whole relationship has been based on what can God do for me? And you know, there's never really a biblical, principle about a relationship with God being what can he do for you. And that's why so many people walk away. The Bible, the scripture says they were among us, but they weren't of us. So once things didn't go their way because they didn't have a real relationship, they walked away. But let me say this, in our culture, with all the bondage and wounded places, we're not used to real relationships. We walk away. The marriage rate is horrible in America, but the church is really horrible when you hear what God says. And this isn't to bring condemnation on people who've been divorced, but most of the people who've been divorced in this place were divorced before they ever came here. Or it was with unbelieving spouses who walked away. The Bible says if they want to go, let them go. There's teaching on that. And there's other people who've really hung in there. Oh, God. We want to do this thing God's way, okay? We're going to talk more on this. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants you to begin tonight to start to develop a relationship of knowing Him. And let me say this, you cannot develop a relationship of knowing Him unless you choose to be a bondservant first. That's why there's this hyper-spirituality in the body of Christ today. That's why there's a lot of blatant sin going on, and they say they know God. No, the Bible's very clear, and you can look at in John 14, you can look at John 15, you can look at 1 John. We're going to get into some of that next week, hopefully, or maybe Sunday morning. But the Bible's very clear. If you don't obey Him, the Bible says you don't love Him. And He says, away from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. And that I don't know you is, I don't fellowship with you. I don't fellowship with you. I don't hang out with you. So I really want you, that's not to condemn you. That's for you to realize, you should get excited. My whole life is going to change if this is about, I didn't know I was supposed to hang out with God and know Him. I've been so wounded by trying to know people in the past. I've been so wounded by trying to be friendly. I put up so many guards that honestly, I didn't even really know that there's a knowing God. How many in here would say, you know, this is really breaking through to me that there is a relationship in God that I've hardly touched yet. Is there anybody here? There is people here. No, it's a big one. It's not hardly taught. You can sit in church for years and some of them really are the bond servants. Some of them don't even go there. Some of them just stay infants. But you really have some who really, really know God. And isn't that who you're drawn to? What is it about Heidi Baker that draws you to her ministry so much? She knows God. The thing I love about Jesse Duplantis when we get ready to teach this, and there's a lot of areas where Jesse Duplantis, I don't think maybe has gone into certain areas, especially in sanctification, in her healing, but the man knows God. And he talks like he knows God, and he lives like he knows God, and he has faith like he knows God, and he has a relationship with God. And we've spent too much time listening to people who don't have a relationship with God, who just want us to pay their bills or whatever. I really want us to leave here tonight with an excitement that Jesus Christ died so that the Father could have sons and daughters and so that Jesus could have a bride. That's the relationship God wants with us. God the Father wants to be a parent to you.